The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, for Oztober.
Oztober.
We have Triple M Garage Sessions. Emma G knows what they're called.
The Triple M's Oztober Garage Sessions.
Promo guy knows what it's called.
Four Aussie Garage Sessions.
But we learnt someone forgot to tell Dits.
Do you remember they did the garage sale last week?
This weekend at the Triple M Garage Sale, get some jars of Louis stubby holders and Iron Hayden's old ironing board.
Yeah.
Number four.
Maureen, good morning.
We chatted to 81-year-old listener Maureen.
Oh, hi.
And learnt some marriage advice.
Now, you were married for 58 years. What's the secret to a good long marriage?
Do your own thing.
Oh, that's what we do say to our wives when we get into trouble.
Just stay away from your partner. Number three, speaking of staying away, Dits stayed away on Wednesday with gout complications.
He's got gout!
So Tex Walker filled in.
Good to be here, Roo.
Here's a highlight from the show with Roo and Tex.
You can't go past victory from Revolution Roofing.
Make sure you get it with a True Oak Superior corrugated roof.
Things did improve when 12-year-old Shakia called with a great joke about Tex and his worst enemy.
What joke have you got, Shakia?
One day, Tex Walker was sitting on his couch. Kane Corn comes up and breaks into his house with a gun.
Okay.
Tex Walker says, "What are you doing here, you grumpy old man?" Kane Corn says, "I'm here to kill you."
Is this a joke or did this actually happen?
Tex Walker says, "You can't, I'm in the living room."
Great joke, Shakia. We learnt Kane Corn's lawyers will be in touch with you shortly.
You want to be really careful about saying stories that are wrong.
Number two, we learnt the only times Roo and Dits will let their dogs inside.
The only other time the dogs come inside, you know what we did?
What?
We watched Red Dog. And loved it. It was barking at the TV screen and got right into it.
Mine comes inside and watches Angle Park every Thursday night.
Number one, we learnt this next caller's dog does more than watch the TV inside.
He was told to keep this as clean as possible. I was making love to my wife on the kitchen bench.
Oh, easy, mate.
The dog
keep it very clean. That's your last warning.
Yeah, mate, keep it clean. Don't you know how unhygienic kitchen benches are?
All right. So the dog came in while I was very close. He started licking a certain part of my anatomy.
No, dump that. Can't say that.
So anyway, Roo and Dits hung up on him. So I had to call him back and get the rest of the story.
Yeah, hello.
G'day, mate. Did you call up with a funny story about your dog?
Yes, I did.
The boys cut you off. Can you finish the story for me, please?
Anyway, we're halfway through it and the dog came along. Started to lick me. Gritting balls of fire. I didn't teach the dog that.
No, of course not.
Yeah, it wasn't our dog, actually. It was my daughter's dog, so we're only looking after him, but I wanted to keep him.
Of course you did.
I thought I deserved the bloody prize.
Top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
No. That was different. This week. Sam hasn't. He didn't go and ring that bloke back.
Sounds like he has.
He did. I would have barred him for life.
You old prude. That's the week that was.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Roo and Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Rudy Vanderstone, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and good morning to you, Roo, and everybody listening in Adelaide. I have got my ute parked out the front there, guys. Right there on Flinders Street. It's got a beautiful ream gas or water system strapped to the roof, so I want to get out of there before the icies get their fingers on it.
Good idea.
Now, Roo, today,
yes.
I'm putting together a list. Remember a couple of weeks ago I did the list of the five most annoying female characters of all time.
I thought you were very brave doing that.
Yep.
Well, today I'm balancing the ledger, as it were. This is equal opportunity. It's the five most annoying male characters of all time. Let's get stuck into them.
You can really let rip.
The first is Doctor Who, probably because he's an icon for dweebs, but mostly because He's using the worst crappy props in the fourth dimension to kill protoplasm and what have you, aliens. And he's arrived there via a police phone booth with a beautiful woman he never has a love interest with. Yeah. What's wrong with the bloke? Stop knitting scarves and get a handful. I mean, and I hate sci-fi, Roo.
Yeah. Yes,
it's so weird. Doctor Who cares? Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I see Ditz is very quiet there. He probably likes Doctor Who. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, he's with you.
Next is Frank Underwood, the President of the United States in the series House of Cards. Have you seen House of Cards, Ruth?
Oh, I haven't seen House of Cards, but tell me all about it.
Now, he's an annoying, sadistic dog murderer. He kills a dog, episode one, series one.
Ooh, good
then
start.
He kills a journalist, so he's a real murderer. Ooh. He's a perverted swinger. Yeah. He cracks onto one of his Secret Service men, and he has a horrible Southern accent. But it's the actor that plays him that makes him so annoying. Kevin Spacey, well done on making a bad character even worse because you're a sexual pervert.
Yeah. Talker, didn't you?
Absolutely. Some might say that House of Cards is a documentary. But anyway, next on the list is the dwarf from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I can see laughter in the background there. Now, I know the correct language is short stature, but they referred to him as a dwarf, and so will I.
All right.
Tyrion Lannister, beautifully played by Peter Dinklage, who also happens to be a dwarf. It's a beautiful acting. He's a little smart-ass that always has something to say. He's a meddling, yappy, annoying dwarf. That's Tyrion, not Peter. And he also happens to be a sexual pervert. Tyrion, not Peter. Okay, two sexual perverts from a list of three so far.
Yeah, going well.
Number four is Alf Stewart from Home and Away.
Oh, Alf.
A man that has a record as the longest-running character in a TV series, being played by Ray Maher for 32 years, which is a horrible statistic, isn't it? What a waste of a life. Alf is a bartender. He's a keen businessman while serving on the surf club committee. He also runs a bait shop and takes part in recreational fishing. Sounds very much like Ditz in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
Come on.
Now,
Alf.
Maher often, according to Wikipedia, Maher often changes the dialogue to suit Alf's speech.
Ooh.
No shit, Sherlock. Nobody could write this mess.
I'm going to kill you!
If it's a fight you want, pal, you've just got yourself one.
We don't appreciate grubs like you butting into our family business, so you've got two choices. You either get the hell out of here or I knock your block off.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll be right. You stay out of it, sis. You've done your bit.
I'll get to you in a minute.
How come I get the feeling I'm being set up for something?
I thought I banned you from this house.
You did, but there's something...
Well, get out before I turf you out.
Dad!
You heard me. I don't have to say it again. This is my house, and I'll be rude to the Queen here if I feel like it.
Wow.
Alfie!
I've got to apologise there. I thought I was going to a package from Alf Stewart, not Roo after a couple of West Ends on a Saturday night.
not very different.
Clipped you on the way through.
Thank you.
Now, finally, number one on the list of most annoying TV characters of all time, as a very brief mention, is Mr. Kelly from Hey Dad.
Oh.
An absolute grub. He is currently in a Goulburn correctional facility, and what is ever happening to him right now, he deserves.
Yeah.
I hate them all. Goodbye.
Oh, no stars?
No stars for any of those reptiles.
Oh, lots of reptiles there, Rudy.
Absolutely.
You're going hard on them, as they should be.
Slithering pythons and frill-necked lizards, the lot of them.
Good work, Rudy. Well, thanks for joining us. You have a good weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Todd Zeaton.
Ex-Finks and Mongol bikey Shane Bowden, ex-South Australian bikey, executed in front of his family and kids a couple of days ago up in Queensland. Here's the Detective Superintendent, Brendan Smith.
I think it's important that people understand that these gangs are criminals. They're not, you know, they don't take fluffy toys to hospitals and stuff like that. These are criminal gangs that survive on retribution, violence and threats. And if anyone thinks anything otherwise, they're an idiot.
We heard another policeman say, live by the sword, die by the sword. Here's Professor Terry Goldsworthy.
The fact that they've been prepared to go into that quite secure area where the houses are, they've known his movements, they've known his routine, they've waited for him. I think the use of multiple shots is just making sure that the job was completed. I wouldn't say that there'd be an outright bikie war, but certainly I think there'll be some repercussions from this.
Andrew Earle joins us from time to time when we talk about the underbelly or all things crime. He's the writer for the Herald Sun. He joins us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ruin. Tex.
Yeah. Good morning, Andrew. How you going?
Hey,
was this coming? Did we know that this was going to happen? Was he on the run? Is that why he left Victoria for the state of Queensland?
Well, look, interesting old codger rang me as soon as it happened. I have a source in the Gold Coast who's a very funny man. He had a little bit to do with the fine cotton thing.
Right.
And he rang up and he said the mail is that this bloke is what they call a lash in the criminal parlance. He doesn't pay his debts. He mixes up his money with other people's.
Oh.
And that this is personal stuff over money owed and that it's not an inter-gang war. And he's unlikely to spill over into, you know, Finks versus Mongols versus whatever. It's not that, apparently. And I think the police are really saying a version of that too, aren't they?
So we're not expecting any retaliation?
Well, if it is, it'll be sort of personal. You know, best mate says, I'll back up. But maybe you've got to fight your own battles if you don't pay your own debts.
Okay, so this was the guy who was involved in that big kickboxing tournament back in 2006 where there was shots fired and knives used, and it was unbelievable footage. He's had a long criminal history, but not paying his debts, that's not a thing that's accepted in any form of life, is it?
It's not. Maybe most of us would sort of perhaps go to the small claims tribunal or, you know, send lawyers letters, but these blokes are a little bit different. They're not only a bit different and they're tooled up, most of them are on the gear and they grind their teeth and they get angry. My same old source from Queensland said to me, you know, back in the day, these Finks and all the rest of it, they were mostly, a lot of them used heroin. He said they were skinny blokes that did a lot of bad things, but they go home and sleep it off. But now these guys, he said, they're running around all bulked up and grinding their teeth and mad as cut snakes. So it does lead to more of this sort of stuff. And, of course, you know, one thing leads to another and there you go. But anybody who remembers that the ballroom blitz at the Gold Coast, which you just mentioned back in 2006.
Was that the Royal Pines Resort?
Royal Pines Resort.
Which is where the AFL sides have been staying this year
exactly
in the hub.
Right. Yeah, we hear about it these days, don't we? But that particular event, that is the first time we heard the name Shane Bowden, and it's the first time we heard the name Christopher Wayne Hudson, because Bowden was the lunatic who shot Hudson in the jaw, I think. Didn't, you know, obviously didn't kill him. More's the pity, probably. And that was all over. You know, Hudson had left the Finks and gone to the Hell's Angels and all that sort of nonsense. Well, Hudson, after that, went down to Melbourne nursing a bullet wound and a grievance and got on the... We all know what happened in Melbourne. He stayed out all night at a nightclub, got involved with Alan Didak from the Collingwood Footy Club, funnily enough, who's nothing to do with it, really. And then grabs one of the dancers that he knew by the hair and was pulling her around the street. A very brave man called Brendan Keillor, who's a lawyer working nearby, about half Hudson's size, steps in to save this woman. He shoots him dead. He shoots a very brave backpacker called Paul DeWard, almost kills him, and he injures the woman as well. So Hudson was bad news. And that is the sort of circles that Shane Bowden mixed in. And
we don't see the bikies on the streets as more than allowed to wear their colours, and I don't think they're allowed to associate with each other. Is there still the same amount of bikies around in 2020 as there was, say, in 2010 or the year 2000?
Oh, I think so. It's really, look, they're an organised crime gang by and large ever since the Hells Angels were first. They got the recipe from California for how to make amphetamines way back in the day. You know, in living memory, it's was sort of about 1970 or something. And they brought it back and they started to make speed, or crank as they used to call it then, and used to sell it among themselves and so on. Ever since then, they've grown into a massive organised crime drug distribution network.
All right, Andrew, thanks for joining us. And that's interesting there that Tex didn't pay his debts and got 12 bullets in the front of his BMW as a result.
Fair price to pay if you don't pay your debts, Roo.
Yeah, we'll make sure you pay that $100 you owe me. Yeah.
Our audio guy, Sam Morrison's come waltzing into the studio. How are you, mate?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. What have you got for us?
Just a little bit of info to keep you guys up to date with the latest. The latest craze is celebrity meditation tapes.
Celebrities are teaching other people how to do it, or?
Yeah, so they record themselves doing a relaxing story. They're called sleep stories, or you can get them on self-care apps, you know, because mental health is very important and people are right into meditation. So there's a Harry Styles one. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of Harry.
Yeah. There's a Matthew McConaughey one. Have a listen.
Well, hello there. I'm Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, and tonight I'll be reading a special sleep story called Wonder. As you settle in under the covers with your head easing into the pillow and your body sinking into the mattress.
I almost fell asleep listening to that.
Is that the idea?
I think that's the idea. And there's a, you know, Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
There's a Chris Hemsworth one.
Now I want you to close your eyes. And really close them now. All the way, no peeking.
Oh, come on.
Chris knows when you're peeking. All right? So,
yeah. Oh, I can sense where this is going, Ditz.
You get an idea. So I thought it'd be a good idea, because you guys are celebrities, obviously, to get some meditation tapes from some of your guys' funny bits. But first, let's hear from the grumpy old man, Pratty. What's his name?
Michael Pratt.
Michael Pratt, yeah. So every time he talks, I tend to fall asleep. So I thought it'd be a good idea to hear from him.
I'm a bit old. Back in the 60s, I was a kid on a farm 10 miles from Blythe's, walked to the school bus. We'd only just got 240-volt power. In fact, the old single-wire earth return television wasn't there. But I admire the technology. It's the greatest revolution that your kids have got.
Did it make you sleepy? that work? So the next one I've made is actually designed specifically for umpires, footy umpires, because, you know, this is a high intensity kind of job, and they can get stressed
out. They need a bit of downtime.
They need to, relax. How are they going to relax? They just listen to this one.
He threw the ball away, and he calls it holding the ball. You absolute rat! You idiot! The same umpire. You are wrong. You can't do that, umpire. I don't believe it.
Is that relax?
Would you call that calming?
Yeah. I think they'd like that.
Does Ditz need to meditate?
Ditz definitely needs to meditate. And this happened on Friday, the Port Premonition Ditz meditation tape.
We just had a bit of deja vu. He said, you know, in 2004, Port Adelaide beat Geelong. He said, and then in the prelim final, beat St Kilda. And then in the grand final, played Brisbane. Could it happen again? Skip Roo, you away. Hey, Roo.
What?
Hey. This is important. Anyway, we just reminisced a little bit, and as you know, Roger James was so important in that prelim final win against St Kilda. He kept us in the game. Roo,
what?
Wake up.
Okay.
That makes you sleepy.
It works.
That definitely works. It could be one of those weeks.
Do you want one more?
Yeah. Give us one more.
Okay, so this one. Back when coronavirus sort of started, Roo was really into telling us about how the exponential numbers were going to go through the roof. And it made me sleepy every time he'd talk about it. Have a listen.
So the exponential effect, all right? So the first time you got two people sick, then four, then eight, then 16, then 32,
we're onto it.
Then 64.
Get the message.
Then 128, then 256, then 512. Yes. 1,024, 2,048, 4,096, and then I'm just going to round them out a little bit.
Just round them out.
8,200, 16,400, 32,800, 65,000, 130,000, 260,000, 520,000, and a million. You get to a million from two in 60 days if it doubles every 3 days.
Mm. So it's kind of relaxing, but
we
also
understand how it works, Roo. Right.
I know you're I know you're good at numbers, Ditz, 100%. But I just sort of have to spell it right out for you. You can get to a million in 60 days.
Yeah, we know.
We'll send that one to Dan Andrews so he can relax.
Seriously, are all the celebs doing meditation tapes?
Apparently, yeah. Including you guys.
Right. Oh, okay. No. It must be money, isn't it? Good work.
Well done, Sammy.
Hey, thanks, Sammy.
Ruined it's on Triple M if you're still awake.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruined Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
Now, nicer weather's been, out and about over the last few days, Roo. Hopefully you're not as grumpy as they have been.
They should get out and about a little bit, you would have thought. G'day, Praddy, Reedy and friends. How are you, boys?
Yeah, boys.
Good morning, boys.
Praddy, be happy with the new Redlegs club out there? Have you been out and had a look at it?
Good. I was there for the opening with Wolfie Blass and the Premier. Been up to the bush. Good hay cutting season, so I'm happy. I'm a happy grumpy today.
Right, we should actually give Wolfie a good mention this morning. What he's done there is enormous, isn't it, Praddy?
It is, and he's done it in your town of Harndorf.
Yes, he has. Chris. Yep, spending his money, which he's unbelievable. He really is.
Tipped $1 million into Sandful Footy to keep it alive, and it is a great competition, and grassroots footy, Reedy, friends, out at Ross Road.
Yeah,
losing. I love it when
good on good on Wolf Blass. All right, what have you got, Roo?
Looking back at your lives, boys, what have you wasted your money on? What would you change if you could do it all over again?
All right, let's go to Reedy first up.
Well, it's a pretty simple one. Racing syndicates, really. if I said anything else, Diane had built me up. It got to the stage, my mates used to run syndicates and make sure I didn't know about it because I was a donor. Every syndicate I went in, they were winning syndicates. I went in and they were losing syndicates.
Are you the jinx already?
I was a jinx. So in the end, mate, I never got asked, which I'm bloody glad. I'm saving some money. But that'd have to be it, pal.
Yeah, okay. What about you, friends?
Oh, mate, over the journey for me, diets, surely.
Diets? You wasted your money on diets.
Christ almighty, I've been on everything, tried everything. They work if you stay on it. They fail if you don't. Yeah. And my God bless my old doctor, he said to me one day, I said, how can I lose some weight, Dr. Bashir? And he said, don't eat. He said... the last 30 days without eating. So he said, just don't eat and you'll be fine.
It's pretty hard to do, though.
You need discipline.
Praddy, what was the worst thing you spent money on?
Yeah, TV shopping.
TV shopping?
What?
Late night, drill bits that won't drill, 35 lay five ladders that show a woman demonstrating them. Those electric nibblers that cut circles in drums. Who wants them? Mandolins that... slice and dice your carrot, cabbage, and your fingers. I bought them all.
Yeah.
But there's one I could buy. That device that used to cut wine bottles into glasses.
Yeah.
And why would you do that when you can just flog them from pub?
Very good.
What is irking you at the moment, Reedy?
Well, you blokes should know about this. How many ads are you allowed to have in an hour on free to air TV? Right. I watched the show the other day and I got that annoyed with the number of ads. So the next hour I actually timed it. And it was
You have got too much time on your hands.
58 minutes, there was 24 minutes of ads.
On TV?
On TV. Now I thought there used to be some limit. Government control on ads.
That's so people like Praddy buy things though.
Yeah, I suppose they do, but seriously, that's why people go to Netflix and go to other stuff because you just get sick to death of the ads. I mean, you used to be able to duck out and have a quick leak, between the ad break. Now you can go and do anything you want to come back.
Good point, Reedy.
Good one. Anything irking you, friends?
Oh, look, mate, I think last week it had to be the petrol prices and the change of the petrol prices. I pulled up in my car, filled up, and then I thought, I'll race around, I'll fill my daughter's car up, do her a favour. Went back and it was about 40 cents dearer a litre.
Well, the same place.
What's going on? The same place. And the poor bloke behind the counter got a mouthful while he was making coffee.
Freddy?
Yeah, I got a bit of an irk. It's about old age. The older you get, the better you get, unless you are a banana.
It's very profound.
That's true. Have you got a thought for the day as well?
I'm advocating for women today, for women like Alice the Wag.
Yeah.
And three tips for a woman. Mm. It is important that a man helps you around the house and has a job.
Mm.
It's important to find a man you can count on and doesn't lie to you.
Mm.
It is important that a man loves you and spoils you. It is important that these three men never know each other.
Good one.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for that. The grumpy old men. We'll talk to them again next week.
See you, boys.
Commissioner Grant Stevens on the line. But before he joins us, Tex, you probably don't know this, but one of our WOAT songs that we've had over the last couple of weeks is I'm Too Sexy. Let's have a listen to it.
I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk.
On the catwalk. Yes, this is Ditz's favourite song.
I love this song.
He loves it. He loves this song.
This is what I sing down at Next Generation when I'm walking up and down in front of the mirrors.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's very, very funny. But then we saw an interview on the news with the Police Commissioner Grant Stevens. Just have a listen to the background noise.
Commissioner, the Transition Committee is going to be assessing the situation in New South Wales. Preliminary, what's your viewpoint on it?
You know, my ringtone.
Great ringtone.
Very funny. Joins us now, Police Commissioner Grant Stevens. Good morning, Grant.
Yeah, good morning, boys. And let me be clear, that's the original version, not Dittmar singing it.
Tell me, you've got to tell me, we're all fascinated. Why is it your ringtone? Is it so you know your wife's calling, or did your kids do it, or do you just love I'm Too Sexy, or do you think you are too sexy?
Well, I'd be living in the past if I thought I was too sexy, that's for sure. But it was done by a mate of mine maybe 18 months ago, and I have to admit I've grown fond of it, and it's just my general ringtone.
Well, you have a laugh when you hear it, and that's the main thing in life. Here's
104.7 Triple M. He writes jokes for the front bar, and his mates call him Rosie. Oh, Rosie! Please welcome to Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Roo. Good morning, Tex. How are we, boys?
Very, very good. Very thanks, good. Mate.
Now, I noticed that Dits is missing. I heard you say that he's had a knee operation, and this has got endone hangover written all over it.
Yes, he doesn't know where he is at the moment.
He's loving it.
What's happening with in the world of gel blasters, Rosie?
I want to talk about Jesse Hogan first.
Oh, Jesse Hogan. Yeah, well, that's a bit of an interesting one too, old Jesse, isn't it?
I'm loving it. So basically, he was fined because he had a lady over. When he was supposed to be quarantined, had a lady over, got an $8,000 fine. But his lawyer came out and said that it was because he was in a drought.
Yeah, exactly.
He broke the rules. So you go, mate, even Gladys Berejiklian's getting more action than old Jesse Hogan. And you sort of go, well, at least he would have got more touches than he did on the footy field all season.
Yes,
so he's,
he's had a bit of a lean one, old Jesse. But yeah. Didn't he?
But are they sure it was a woman and not just David Mundy with his hair down?
Oh, he looks a little bit like that, do you think? But
just a tad.
Yeah, old Jesse couldn't hold himself back there, could he?
No, Tex. Are there any footballers at the Crows? Who's a footballer who's a player with the longest drought going?
Oh, jeez.
Who do you want to put into
there,
Tex?
You put me on the spot. Well, who's a single boy? There are not too many single boys at the club anymore. All got girlfriends and wives. And I'll come back to you by the end of the segment.
All right. Now, I hear that, obviously, Oratio Fantasia is wanting to head home to South Australia, and I'm hearing that maybe the Crows might be into him.
And Port.
Yeah, so, but the only thing about that is you've got to deal with Essendon. So you've got to deal with Adrian Dodoro, who is, you know, Kim Jong-un is easy to negotiate with. Adrian Dodoro. And I don't know how you're going to get him, because I went to a garage sale at Adrian Dodoro's place. And I bought a kettle and it cost me $35,000, my firstborn and two unicorns. So this guy.
For people out there who don't know who Adrian Dodoro is, he's the list manager for Essendon. He's Italian and he is absolutely ruthless, fair to say.
Rosie, what's going on with these gel blasters?
Well, so the gel blasters, I'm hearing that there's been a bit of an amnesty. They want to call them back. They're saying they're not legal. And I've got a few at home that I need to return. They're sawn-off gel blasters.
Sawn-off gel blasters?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're good. It keeps the noise down. But you know what? I love a gel blaster. I think they're good for the kids because it's a safe way to practice your pistol whipping.
Oh, I don't know. They got 6 months to get a license, Rosie. Otherwise, you can't use them. Put your toys down.
I love an AK-47 gel blaster. They're fun for firing at weddings like the Iraqis do. It's just a little bit of
Rosie, you're being a bit naughty here, Rosie.
Sorry,
tell
mate.
Us about the woman who ran a half marathon in her hotel room when she was quarantining.
Yeah, so there was a woman in Sydney who thought she'd try and keep her fitness up. And so she did a half marathon whilst in quarantine. It was 3,000 laps of her hotel room in Sydney.
God.
I know. Could you be bothered? I mean, sure, the people in the room below her were wrapped. But you just go, who can be bothered? Like, and also, it's not that big a deal. Like, I did a full marathon from the couch to the fridge watching the footy Friday night. Like, it's easy to do.
Well,
you get dizzy.
You would have been a bit struggling in the second half, I would have thought, Rosie, if you've been going back to the fridge.
I'm just hoping if she's doing a marathon, let's just hope she didn't rob Di Castella herself halfway through.
Pretty good one. What's happening with the priest, Rosie?
Okay, so there was a priest in New Orleans who's found himself in a little bit of trouble because he filmed himself in his church in a menage a trois with two porn stars.
What? A priest?
Yeah, a priest has done that. So I think they're going to have to start bringing out Bibles with a sealed section. So it's going to be an interesting, like, because, you know, I grew up Catholic and I went to church as a kid. And I always thought you're supposed to put the communion wafer in your mouth. That's what I was always.
Yes, you are, definitely. Rosie, we might leave it there before you get in a little bit of trouble.
I'm hearing Jesse Hogan has joined the congregation.
Jesse Hogan's in. He's in for a bit of action as well, mate. And we'll speak to you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great week, boys.
See you, Rosie.
Ladies. Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, Batesy's made a rare appearance in. How you've come into work today?
I have.
From our sales executive team, Alice the Wag, Mel the Button Pusher. Now, Roo, this is actually an Adelaide story I read on Adelaide Now earlier in the week. How to trap a sugar daddy. So this is aimed at, young women.
What do you mean trap a sugar daddy?
Or how to win one, how to get a rich old bloke to look after you for the rest of your days.
I'm listening.
Well, who, what's that?
Would you believe 730,000 Australians have gone onto this sort of website to learn the tips?
Oh, come off it.
185,000 are students. Things like overseas trips, fine dining, living expenses, lavish gifts.
Bludge off a rich bloke.
And the like, yeah. Mel, is this ethical? Does this sound right to you? Should a young girl think, I can pay my way through uni by just going out to dinner once a week?
No. Well, actually, I kind of understand, getting through uni, it's better than most of the part-time jobs you could have, so go for gold. But then get the education and make your own money.
Right.
Yes.
Does that happen here in South Australia?
Well, this is, I'll tell you in a moment, this is a local story. I'll get to that. Alice the Wag.
Well, to get myself through uni, I worked in a pub.
Yep.
Every night, and I reckon dating a sugar daddy seems way more nicer than that.
You were
that.
Getting groped anyway.
Yeah, I feel like ethically it's probably the same thing.
This.
Look, I'd be okay, don't quote me on it, but I think I'd be okay if there was no physical touches or like you didn't touch me in any way.
Just be a companion.
But I'm happy just to sit there, have a nice dinner, like you can buy me some drinks and I will give you some jokes.
Some jokes.
And I'll look at you like you're sexy and pretend that you are sexy.
So lead him on.
Almost like a stand-up 100%. Comedian, you know. And
also, like, I will dress nicely and look at you like you're hot.
But give me your
Alice.
Cash.
But I won't touch you.
Oh, my God. Right. That's the biggest tease of all time.
Well, that's what they want, isn't it?
No, that's what they say, and I don't think that's ever true.
Batesy,
you reckon there's an extra level?
Oh, of course there is.
Oh,
I agree. I think if there's no special cuddles, then it's sort of like an arrangement. You know what you're in for. You agree on it before you meet, I'm pretty sure. So I think that's okay. But
are you one of the 700,000 that's been on this site?
I mean, to be honest, I probably would have done it back in the day.
But to any of you, is there any guilt, though, involved in, I'll go overseas with you or I'll take that gold watch for that nice present for sure. Any guilt?
No, I don't think there should be. He's on a site saying exactly what he wants and you've come back and matched and apparently you have an agreement before you meet. I don't think anyone's taking advantage of the other.
I would feel guilty. Like, I'd be like, I'm a bad person.
Would your mum be happy doing it, Alice?
My mum wouldn't know about it.
No. Would your mum be happy if she found out?
Probably not.
Not probably not.
No, she wouldn't. But that's okay. You can't rule your life just because your mum doesn't think you should do stuff when you're teenagers.
Now, it's pretty dodgy,
on the site, there are some beautiful, stunning girls, seriously, who look really, really nice and normal, but are saying, well, it got me through uni.
Tell us about the Adelaide stats.
Now, which suburb do you live in, Mel?
Broadview.
Alice.
Hove.
And Batesy.
Rosewater.
Top three suburbs for this to happen. These are the girls. The girls that live in these suburbs. Ooh. Rosewater.
How's this?
Malvern.
Oh, Blue Unley, Chip.
Which is next door.
Blue Unley. Chip.
And Wag Glenelg. Now, you're in Hove. Whoa. You're right next door.
That's because those girls have never worked a bloody day in their lives.
Well, this is the final thing, though, they're saying.
Yeah, but why do they need it if they're living there? Are they living there as a result of the sugar daddies?
Good point. Mm. Now, there's a psychologist who's come into this article and said that what happens at the end of it, though, is they can't get into real relationships because when they go from living this lavish lifestyle to meeting just the local boy down the road who's a tradie, he can't keep them in that lifestyle,
and
therefore they're absolutely spoilt. So you could see that happening, couldn't you?
100%. And also, who you the decisions you make at 21 and you think that that's what you want, you look back on at 30 with perspective and some more maturity and you're like, I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
So I think you'd end up regretting it, which is really hard because it's such a big thing to carry for the rest of your life.
Mm. Mm.
Just don't be materialistic. Go out there and have a good time.
Right. Final advice from Alice the Wag. Base your life on hers and you'll have lots of fun. Ruined It's on Triple M.